I just what I really thought, but I was a little blocked out, and it didn't really bother me. But I didn't close my eyes. I was sort of half blocked. And then I said to him, you know, do you need any material for a cook-up? I'm not even sure if I really saw it, but I was a little blocked out, and it didn't really bother me. I didn't close my eyes. I was sort of half blocked. And then I said to him, you know, do you need any material for a cook-up? The answer is follows. My father was never mocking on it. Yes? Reb Moshe wasn't mocking on any material. I said, well, nowadays it's done. Fine. Then he said to me what I had thought about my own. But the only time we need a Messiah and a Ksuba quantum, what my father said is, if the Ksuba is written on one day, and the marriage is taking place on the next day. Because I think it may have happened last night. I think by the time, I wasn't looking carefully, I think by the time the ring was placed on the finger of the caliph, if I'm not mistaken, it was no longer Lag BaOmer. It was after Shkia. It was 8 o'clock last night, I believe. It was close, it was very close. I wasn't looking at my watch, I was looking at the ring. It didn't really matter to me. It didn't matter to me. But I believe it may have been after the Shkia that the, I mean, that's not so terrible, Ben Ashmoshes, I mean, you know, that was the conversation that took place up there. Because now I'm the Ava.
If the wedding were delayed that much, then would anybody question it later?
Let's see,
would there be
any
problem?
No, the problem to me is no problem, because the minute you pick up the handkerchief on Shmon after Yom HaKodesh here, it's already a towel. So who cares? The wedding can be in 3 days, doesn't matter. That was the whole world. Reb Moshe's nose before the air. That's the whole discussion. So it came up Levites with Reb Reuven. That's a funny story. We're going to talk about it all year. The last video, and there it is. Boom. All right, that was a very interesting story. Tomorrow night I'm speaking to Beit Medrash at 9:15. So, you know, I'm always interested in coming. The list of the many others. Bain Shar Haramin. But, I'm thinking about the rug. Not what you ever heard, no, not what you heard.
About the rug or
Shir? I'm thinking about it. I'm not no bones about it. I mean this, and I said this. All right, okay, okay. That's how many of them come as they wanted. They didn't want anything. I must say that Rabbi Chalap stole some of my thunder, that which I had already written out.
Are you going to say about thunder?
Yes. I'm still going to say something about it, but in my own little way. Anyway, yes, so congratulations to all those who will be privileged to march with the Salute to Israel Parade, and those who will be squeezed into my car, that was also an accomplishment. Very bad one for a while. I think it was
the
review instead. Yeah, that's right, I was singled out. But I think it was an important thing to do, and it's the first time I ever marched in my life. One of these parades. I've been there, but never marched. It's not exactly my thing. But I felt it was very important that these individuals were asked to leave. No, they had their own ceremony in the central synagogue. That was only the yeshiva grads. Well, they had felt uncomfortable in a reformed temple. Petzl Chabad probably considered himself interdenominational. They don't consider themselves belong to any particular group. There are many quote-unquote Orthodox members, not the, I mean, you know, it's not for that, you know. Not for that. But this day when they met in a reform temple, frankly, I'm going to try to push for, and my various contacts, is to institutionalize that. I think it should be institutionalized. That they, if these people want to salute Israel, let them salute Israel in the central synagogue. And let the Orthodox and the other members of the Jewish community who want to march without their presence hang out at Fifth Avenue. You know, And this is what I heard on the radio CBS last night. The politically correct attended both. I don't know, I guess, what does that mean? Cuomo and Dickens?
Dickens and Stein.
They went here and they went there. Oh, vote! The best of them. That's very good. Yes. But how about Dickens needs support? I don't think we're Israel or Dickens. Dickens needs support. Stein, are you easy? So let's institutionalize this, that's all. I tell you, I spoke I was in Kew Gardens for Shabbos, about my brother's bar mitzvah, and I spoke about this point I mentioned briefly yesterday, that the thing which bothers me the most about this whole controversy, the most, is that it shows once again that we have not learned the lessons of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. In other words, forget about your attitude towards the game, this, that, Israel, Zionists, Salus, lesbians, let's turn on Simchat Torah, get all these things. These are just what we call antithesis. These are things to fight about. But the question is, after you finish fighting, you have a disagreement, you can't bridge the gap. You hold this way, that person holds that way, you hold your opinion strongly, that person holds her opinion strongly. Now what? Now what? So, Aniyah Zaiti, now what? You say your piece, the other person says his or her piece, and then Shalom Yisrael. You have a disagreement, but that's all. You disagree. And a lot of disagreements we have. I don't understand. There's so many disagreements in Jewish life. But these disagreements do not impinge upon the peace. For example, let's assume that I hold, I keep going back to my old Mishalom again. I hold that it's mutter to open up a solar bottle on Shabbos. Coke bottles, mutter to turn the top, even though it makes a new bottle cap, whatever it is. And there's some other guy who gets the soda from Eric's Grove, which is the favorite, also the throw-out for showers of the altar. He believes everything he says. You know, you can't copy tapes, you can't open bottles, whatever he says he believes. Okay. And I don't see any reason why people would agree about, people disagree about this other issue of whether it's, we should pull in or pull out or whatever. The disagreement, I see this side of the issue, I see the other side of the issue. I have a particular stance on the issue. I told you my stance very clearly, crystal clear. To my mind, there's no doubt about what the proper answer is. That's my mind. Does that mean everyone wants to agree with me? I'm not afraid to express my opinion. I didn't tell you I had a doubt. I didn't say I had a suffix. To my mind, it was clear. But the fact that to my mind it's clear to me that the other guy who disagrees with me is automatically an apocryphus and an ice cream for him to get this quote one of the names, that's the worst lesson of this whole story to me. Terrible. We haven't learned the lesson of Zvira. That bothers me terribly. It really does. I think that's I was at a chasna last night, the same chasna, and a rabbi comes over to me and says, this whole story back and forth of him and the rabbi, this and the rabbi in the school, and then it was back fighting. Yeah, we have to learn the future from this. Yeah, what? We have to have leadership. We have to have a leader. We have to be able to enforce the consensus, the rebbe's and the yeshivas and rabbis get together. I told the rabbi, my mother said, very nice, very nice, not opposed to that, Khalil. But until that happens, then a much more important lesson. And that until could take a long time. And that is, you can't agree to a particular position, you have no one leader who everybody follows. Learn how to be a mensch. You disagree with him. You say he's wrong. You think it's a bad thing. You say, I think it's a Chilul Hashem. You can say, I think it's endangering the life of our brothers, sisters, and Eretz Yisrael, say what you want. I don't care. You use all these kinds of terms, what you think, that's fine. But then don't attack the other guy personally, and don't threaten. Don't threat. I don't mean threaten pulling him out of the parade. That's okay. That was Binei Ubei. That's okay. But now, School X, 50 miles away from Fifth Avenue, or whatever miles away, from, not do it. Now, because of this incident, now there's recrimination and backbiting. It's not over yet. Everyone was happy, all the marsh was fine, but that bitterness, the guy who won the fifth fight, they still hate each other. And now the principal, with the board, with the president of the school, with this, the rabbanim in the community, everyone's still disagreeing. They're still fighting. That's what's terrible. You can have different positions. I really have to take precious time out of it. We're supposed to be learning it, but I think it's a very important lesson. You can disagree, and without right away calling names, and you know, when you disagree with someone on point X, you don't have to say, and you're bad in Y and Z, you know. The first thing about the Shalom Bayis aces they give. When a person, how do I fight about certain points? Why he did this, he didn't do that. There's a tendency, like you have by the ego, will be on talk to you for kind of till later. I mean, if once you don't like, you have this argument today on Monday, then, and last week you did this, and last month you did that, and last year, and last decade, and then now in the wedding, you know. What's going on over here? You have disagreements. Limit it, contain it, confine it. Don't let it spread like wildfire. That's what I'm over here. Yes, if you had one person who would lead us, if you had the form of consent among many leaders, of course that'd be ideal. But that's not happening tomorrow. But please remember, you go out to the community, you'll be a Chavetz Hanoah, a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva, a Balabos, whatever you'll be, a president of the school, a member of the board of the school, and your neighbor, local neighborhood, in 10 years, you can have this fight. I think that disagreements always have to exist on various issues. Don't fly off the handle. You have a position, okay? But don't jump and then give the other guy's throat right away. That's a very important lesson. Okay, with this introduction, let's review very briefly what we spoke about yesterday in Shia. About Ayin Beis. Talmud Aleph, we have two concepts, they're both sides, quickly. There's Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. According to the simple interpretation, based on the simple reading of the Gemara, the last line of the page, Rosha Perua Doraisi, the Sibu Paras Rosha Isha, the Tanavir Mishmol, Asarla Nos Yisrael, Shleyetri Perua Rosh. If a woman who's married uncovers her hair in the street, she's in violation of Nisa Doraisi. This is how the simple reading is. The simple portion of Shach. If you want to find this simple portion of pshat said, you know, say, Rebbe, very nice, simple. Who told you that this pshat? Who told you? I mean, we have to see it black and white. So I'm in the fact that, you know, I claim it's a simple pshat. One person's claim is a simple pshat, another person's outlandish interpretation. Where I find the furish that this is so, that such a situation would be considered an Isur min HaTorah. So the Shulchan Gemara, which I asked you to see, say so. Shulchan Gibborim says that Vim Lohaisa Kalsa Rosha, she goes to street with nothing on her head. Harezu Asura Minatorah. What do you mean Asura Minatorah? What do you mean Harez is a funny lesson? Harezu Asura Minatorah. What do you mean the woman is Asura Minatorah? She's not Asura Minatorah. You can live with us, no way to be it. What do you mean do it? The final he means is, this Yitzir of Surah Minatorah, this Yotzah L'Shuk, Rosh HaPeruah, is Asur Minatorah, so he said, all right. He used the word Asur, and he used the word Minatorah. Now yesterday she was talking about the questions about both of those points. Is it an Isur, or maybe it's just a Mitzvah, maybe it's just a Midig, or whatever. And then the question, what is Minatorah, or is it just maybe not Matzah? He's categorical in both. Harezu Asur Minatorah Shenema, Uparas Rosh HaIsha, Asar L'Nos Yisrael, Shleyetu B'Priyas Rosh, etc. That's the Riaz, quoted in the Shulchan Gibborim, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, Dabi Riaz, Sif Kutten Beis, that was asked, U.S. Sia Naman Mutab. That's where we start from. Now this is true, Rabbi Osai, we have a cloud, the Ramah Mavid Gimus, Tikri Amuna, Hizos, HaTorah, Lo, Tehei, Muflets. Whatever is an absolute and concrete, Isa Doraisa, cannot change. So the Pashas, if you assume this is correct, there's no way in the world that it can change. We'll see soon. Even that's not agreed to by everybody, but that's how we're starting with that. That's our point of departure. All right, the shul will call the shul de gibor. That's our point of departure.
It will be
das Moshe. What is das Moshe? Well, wait, stop. I fell into a trap. So it's also in the Torah. Is it das Moshe or not? I pointed out yesterday. That's the question. Rashi says yes, das Moshe. And the Rambam says yes, das Moshe. Whereas the Tur seems to say that it's not das Moshe. Even the Shulchan Aruch seems to say it's not das Moshe. I'm sorry. Rashi says over here, the Gemara and Sakasha, the Raisi, the Tosis, the Rashi, yes. Vamayla Parila das Moshe. Why won't das Yehuda? She's called das Moshe. Right? Das Moshe is found in the Mishnah. What's the example of das Moshe? A woman who feeds her husband trade for food, doesn't go to the mikveh, and takes the dorm and doesn't fulfill them, thinks that she is breaking up the marriage. So here too, this would be a violation of das Moshe. We have the Kasha yesterday. Wait a minute. She's not breaking up the marriage. She goes with no one out of head cover. How does that break up the marriage? She's not causing him to do any violation. She's not causing the children to die. So somebody suggested that she has to think it's the correct condition. The reason why this is called das Moshe, as opposed to someone who eats trape out of the home, or the desecrates the Shabbos if they're out of the home, it's not affecting the husband. That would not be considered a violation of das Moshe. Because eating trape or eating Machal Shabbos is not in and of itself related to the marriage. Obligation for somebody here, which is clearly, well, that's all not so clear, but for the moment we're assuming that it is related to the marriage relationship. As I speak, I realize it may not work according to the Rambam. According to Rashi, we could say it. But according to the Rambam, we're going to have a problem even with this definition. Why? Because here we go to the next problem, which we discussed yesterday. The Rambam says, yes. That's good, as I mentioned, we're talking about Moshe now. Right. No. That Moshe, the Torah has to have two components. One has to be Ben Atzorah, the Pashtus, right, the Pashup Shah. And number two has to be something which relates to the marriage, where she is Machshalim and Kasherus, or in Lido, or in the children dying. Or was she, we were suggesting, someone, who said yesterday, who gets the credit? Who suggested, someone yesterday, that the reason why we call it das Moshe is because it relates to the ether which is generated, Dove suggested, as it is generated by the marriage, then we can label it as das Moshe, even though it's not really undermining the marriage, she's not being marshalin in some particular prohibition. As I'm talking to you, I thought Abshah would satisfy both Rashi and the Rambam. No, what's that? No. David? Whoever said it, the Sana. Oh, okay. Everybody, look. I heard this tape from the Rav. He said that he comes to the Shia. He doesn't know what the answer is going to be. And then one student says this, another student says that. Even though the students don't really know what's going on either. But from everybody together, he figures out the shot. So we give credit to everybody in the Shia for participating. Now, the question is as follows, and this is a very important question. I would say a very critical question. Rashi has two days. And the last Rashi on the Bayan Beis and Manalas, as to how he derived from this pasuk of the Paras, Rosh Isha, that there exists a din d'oraisa, the pashtus, that a woman who's married must cover her hair. The first is as follows. The sota, rabotai. The sota seems to have been in violation of an issa before she had relations with this adulterous person, with this adulterer. The minute she took off her hair covering, that's already a violation. It's already, Rashi calls it issa. And therefore, we are menagala, we disgrace her in public, in the Beit HaMikdash, by pulling off her hair covering, as it says in the corner of the Torah to Rosh Isha. Mida keneged mida. That's the expression of Rashi. Mida keneged mida. This is she did this now, but avola b'chlau the osir. Rashi here uses the word osir. We point out that Rashi in Chumash has a similar explanation of the Torah to Rosh Isha, that we disgrace her. But there Rashi doesn't use the word osir. What does he use the word? Genai. And we also pointed out that you find some times where the words osir and the guna are used in tandem. Used together in the Rambam by physical contact with relatives, some relatives, where the bottom line of the box doesn't really mean us. It meant also you wouldn't have to say it from the Guna. So it could be this Rashi, if you want to make a jibe with Rashi in Chumash, would, maybe the word asr shouldn't really mean asr. But if you take Rashi here alone by itself, asr means asr. The second chap, Uparam Mechal Dal Shait Alav Kuro, Shmame and Derech Ramos Gerol Lelech Adesit Kuro Drosh, Rav Moshe, Zichron Levroche, Nikos Moshe Cher, Alav Simon and Zayin, so to me it's an essay, it's a chiyuv to cover your hair. Rav Avad, yes, whether you have a lav, whether you have an essay, a chiyuv, a yisir essay, a different din about spending more than 1/5 of your money. But Moshe doesn't use those words. I put the answer now. Doesn't use the word lav. Doesn't use the word yisrael. He means, is it a do or is it a don't? Is it do cover your hair or don't cover your hair? What's the academic? It sounds academic. No. You have to give up more than 1/5 of your money. For do's you don't. And for don'ts you do. How do you like that? So Moshe says, if the woman was threatened to lose the loss of a job, it depends. If it's a do, then you may uncover the hair to get to keep the job. If it's a don't, then you may not. Well, Moshe, he's not empowered to decide which pshat and Rashi is the better pshat, even though Rashi himself says the second pshat is better. For Moshe doesn't come out of Korea, but it's talking about the case of an almana. The case of an almana, since they're abonon, you assume, it's only the rights of while they're married, and then he's willing to be machriya, and she can take off her head covering in order to be able to procure a job. That's what Kelek Alef Siman and Zayin. Famous too for Moshe. Cook, and yeah, same thing. A divorced woman and a widow, it's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Now, so far we've been... Yes? Well, you want me to prove to you she has to keep her hair covered? Is that what you want to know? I'll try to prove it to you from a Mishnah. I'll try to prove it. The famous Mishnah in the beginning of the second parak says, how do you know if a woman is entitled to a ksuba of 200 or only entitled to a ksuba of 100? So the Mishnah says that she's yotza behinuma berosha perua, so the hair revealed, then she's entitled to 200. And it's not that. Now clearly, we're distinguishing between a ksuba subasa masayim and what we call a Bahula, Almana, Grusha, things of this nature, where the Ksuba is mother. So the implication of that is that Almana or Grusha would be required to cover the hair. That's the Pashim Shah. I don't know what you said. So Rav Moshe himself is willing to concede that. Rav Moshe has a very big Kiddush. He says it's Kalachayad in that same Tshuva, Rabbi Osai. Sim and Nun Zayin, it goes through this whole logic of two opinions in Rashi, which one is right, Amana Zerabanan, two is Araisa. Then I write you the following. V'yesh Loma, v'sh'ulai das Yehudis, hurak midinei minog, she'ein lesa v'ofen shalomatzinu shenogu, v'mokam hefzah v'alomatzinu shenogu. Ramosha writes, if it's a das Yehudis, it only applies to the place where the custom existed. If the minig is, if the muckle happens, there's no minig to cover the hair by almana and a busha where it's only das yehudis, it doesn't apply. But Moshe is saying an interesting statement at the very end of the tshuva, that das yehudis in fact can change, depending upon what the custom is. I mentioned Rav Avadya says so in Chelo Gimel, where he says that if the Mogan Avraham was right, that the custom was that they would go with the hair braided, we'll come to that in a minute, and they no longer go with the hair braided, that means that the Das Yehudis can change. That's what Raja writes too. Because in other cases, see, then the Rambam seems to hold that a woman who's married has to wear two coverings, Minik Satna, they wear a shaitel with a hat on top, and so Raja says, although maybe that Rambam didn't say that, but now the Minik can, in many places, change. So he keeps writing that the Das Yehudis can, in fact, change from one period of time to another. It's a very important point we're going to get to at length. I'm sorry? Yeah, minig ha-mokom. The question, what do you call minig? What's the mokom? I'll have to ask another question. What's the minig and what's the mokom? It's an old story. But the principle is Rav Moshe writes over here, and the Siman and Zayin. Yes, sir. Don't be sorry. I want to hear what your question is. Passing anything yet. I said, no one can quote me any from anything unless you hear all four shirim. So I was only coming out of half a statement. Yeah. Say, it's a better word. I had a case. I'll tell you a nice story. I won't speak about it. A woman came to me. She got divorced. It was a woman who, it's a long story, with her husband in a town. We got into nicer. It was a very difficult situation. And when the get was finally given, with a lot of difficulty and pain, then the woman asked me, what do I think, what's the din now? Must she cover her hair now that she is no longer married? So I told her that Rav Moshe is a Jew, and that there are certain reasons why a woman who's married cannot cover her hair. One is who's no longer married. One is because of financial considerations, which I didn't think applied in this case, because apparently she was making a living when she was married, even though she did cover her hair. Another consideration of a shidduch. I believe, although I don't remember, I have to bring it in to say for sure, I believe that in the last Kelly of Ebenezer, there was a shiv about that. And it was well known long before it was printed, as Rav Moshe having said it's an oral ruling. But I believe it, if you want to bring me an Ebenezer Chelek Dalet, I believe that the tshuva exists, I'm not 100% sure. And I told her that I can't talk to tell you whether in fact it would impact on a shidduch possibility, but if you feel it does, then there is grounds to be lenient. Now, of course, there's another question. If that's true, even if Rav Moshe is right, what do you mean? So you put on the shadel, and when you go on a date, you take it off? What is Rav Moshe saying? You have to wear the head covering, but when you're on a date, then you take it off, because after all, then you feel it'll have a negative impact. Then as soon as the date is over, if the guys will put it on the yarmulke to eat, and then they take it off, and that kind of story. I don't know if Rav Moshe means that or not, but there is some ground for leniency in such circumstances. No, it's not the Mishnah, beginning of the second parish. Thank you very much. Open the Mishnah in the second parish, Parish Bay, Mishnah Aleph. And there it says that how do you know if a woman gets to Subah Masayim? Well, hold on. Let me look. I have a information. 1 second. I'm looking here. Where would it be? Hold on. I don't know. Hold on. I do not see right now. 1 minute. Be patient, please. Part of the parsha was that the obligation or the prohibition, whichever way you phrase it, is a Torah prohibition or a Torah obligation, as the Shilta Givarim said. I put it in. I told the woman that Rav Moshe the Tshuva, where he writes that if a woman has a great need, she is permitted to remove her head covering. I believe somewhere the Tshuva about finding a shidduch, although I can't find it at this minute, so that's not what I mean. So this guy says, I don't know if you can remove it at all. Maybe you should keep it on. And if I just told her, if you feel that it's going to create a difficulty for you in finding a shidduch, and if you feel that you're going to put it on and off, it's going to create also a psychological difficulty to finding a shidduch, then under those conditions, your emotion might be lenient. And I said, I left it at that. We didn't go into more details. But let me go back to my main point for today, which is there anybody who disagrees with the original and fundamental premise? What is the fundamental premise? As the Easter for a woman who's married to cover her hair is an Easter d'oraisa, and as a result, we assume that for the moment anyway, there's no way he could change. And therefore, even though everyone in her town uncovers the hair in the street, it's still a Torah prohibition. Does anybody disagree with that? Yes or no? You have a very good question. Excellent question. How can any minute change? The first person who changes is considered a Torah, a Kutza. That is a change. I think you're right. I think you're right. It begins with a Torah, a Kutza. And gradually, it sometimes takes over. So that the first guy to do it, or the first one to do it, was Taka Torah, the Kutza. But after a while, these things sometimes become accepted in communities. I can't give you a precise. What do what did he discuss? He says, I was saying to Rabin, it just happened. He doesn't tell you how it happened. You want the historical approach, he wants to know. I'll answer a different question. I said, much more fundamental question. How did you fill the grasshopper in a time? How'd that happen? It's a much bigger question. How'd it happen? I don't know what the film they were yesterday. I don't know what happened. There were different traditions. They got, there was a war, there was a debate, there was ignorance. It happened. You know what you call that? In Yiddish, they're good expression for all these things. You know what it is? Akasha Famaisa. When you have a question against how did it happen, it happened. That's all, it did happen. So I've also have first point in one of the Rishonim, the late Rishonim, is the Truma Sedeshen. The Truma Sedeshen says that the obligation or the prohibition of covering the hair for a married woman, it has a smach min HaTorah. At the beginning of Simon Yud in the Truma Sedeshen, smach min HaTorah sounds like it is a derabonon, a smachta. It is not an absolute halop. It's not an absolute din. It's in the right. It's not. They go to the situation of smach. He doesn't go into the process. He just says smach. Smach. Now, Rabotai. One minute. We thought that the Rama was mashma that way. The Rama has a very interesting expression. Lo telach no benos Yisrael through a tosh b'shuk. Achas tenuya, the achas eshetish, whether you be single or married. Now, as far as single women are concerned, although this Tehemet does quote that the custom in many Sephardic lands was that women after they were, I guess, what age? Well, I'm not sure what age, but they were perish. She's certainly one of them. So, there will be a quantum ground, there's no question. Of course you have to cover it. Even a single does cover it. So the assumption we have, and it's again questionable, is that perhaps going to the Rambam, that this thing could change. But there was a time when all the single women did cover there, which is recorded by the Sechemed, he saw it his own two eyes. Sechemed lived, in the 19th century, I believe. So he saw in certain Sephardic communities that the women who were single covered their hair. Period. I'm guessing for about this. I don't know for sure. But nowadays, I don't believe it's practiced anywhere. As far as I know, I have. Not that I know. So what happens? So either you say it's one of two things. Either all the women are in violation. They're violating the halacha, which the Gemara has, the Rambam quotes. Or it could change. It was a Das Yehudis. Das Yehudis could change. And therefore it did change. How it happened, I don't know. Modern world, whatever. It did change. Now, listen. But the Rambam, in the same breath, to the Achas Tzuyim, Achas Eishas Ish. Eishas Ish, you call it Das Moshe in Ilkhus Ishas. How can that change? The two are mentioned in the same breath before they both did change. So we suggested, based upon the Rashi, the first Rashi, the Das Yudis is Minik HaNoshim, the low Siva, Rashi said. Not found in anywhere in the Chumash. Das Moshe can mean also Minik HaNoshim. But Minik HaNoshim Dik Siva, which is in fact written in the Chumash. There was a Minik HaNoshim to cover there, no doubt about it. It's not an Asay, it's not a Lo Sasay, it's not a Chiyuv, it's not an Isser. It's Torah's reporting a Minik, as we find by the Mishnah Lamelech, as far as the Suva Darayt is concerned, as far as the Ramban says, as far as the Zonas is concerned, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, watch out, because Batlu Kami Yalbuzis. Well, here it is. Maybe this Yalbuzis is also Batlu. And all the Torah means is to demonstrate that there was a custom to cover the hair, which even preceded Matan Torah, and it's recorded in the Chumash when it says Upara et Ro Shaisha. Sorry? Well, that's sort of the Ramban says in Chumash that when it says the Yotza Ishta Imo, that the owner had to feed the wife of his slave, where did that come from? Ramban writes that the Torah is making reference to an existing custom at that time to feed your wife, even though it's not an absolute obligation for the right. That's exactly what the Ramban says. What? There's also the Pharisee Pasuk. The Yasa Ishta Ima. The Pharisee Pasuk. That's what it means. It means that you still have to support the wife and they also support the one condition. I didn't make it up. And the same Kesef Yishko Kemorah is also the Pharisee Pasuk. That's the Mishnah of Rav. Doesn't mean that there's a Chiyuv. And that was a meeting in the time of the Goyim they had. You got married. Look. Need I go further? Harabu alai ma'od mohar umatan. Mi omar al mi. No. Shem. Shem. A good friend. Shem said it to Yaakov about it. He wanted to marry Dino. He's mohar umatan. That's a ksuba. I'll give a ksuba and give me a hand in marriage. Yeah? Yes? This could be Chana, second Chana Rashi, exactly. Derech Benos is wrong. Exactly. Of course, the problem is, according to Rashi, at least Rashi's first interpretation, Rashi said that Shkua Rosh is what we call Das Moshe. How does that fit in? For Das Moshe means an Issa D'oraisa. So first of all, the base mayor says that Rashi's the Gemara of Kashi, even according to Rashi, going on the Lashon. What means Das Yehudis? What do you mean Das Yehudis? It should be called Das Moshe. But really, the reason you lose the Ksuba, not because of any Easter of Das Moshe. Sound of the Chumash. But the reason you lose the Ksuba is what we call, we'll see later, Chatzifusa. What do you mean Chatzifusa? Chatzifusa is an expression which I would like to show you in the Rush, and there's a remarkable conclusion in the Yabi Omer. Turn to the Rush, please, one I asked you to see on the Mount of the Prophet. The Rush on this Mishnah. It's Perek Zion. Simen. Ches. Right before the word Gemara. He says, I go, I'm not trying that one wide line, that's one wide line all by itself. She causes him a mipshel, I assume out, not in the house where the get mixed up. She keeps toasting the home and eats straight food from the diner and the garden state. Lo, it's Tida Ksubasa. She does lose the food because of that Aveira. What's Das Yehudis? The Das Yehudis Mishum Chatzifusa, for the audacity of doing such a thing, Hu Mishum Chashad Nus Hu Demapsuga. The rush, the remarkable line over here. And the reason why a woman loses the ksuba when she's involved in Das Yehudis is because of Chashad Nus, the inspector of immorality, actual adultery. Best translation that is chutzpah. Now we're in the Kabbalah, our friend Alex, they're in the dictionary. Rabbi Vajirai, it's like this. Says, it's going to go up. Chela Gimel, Simon Chav Gimel, Sif Chav Yud Gimel. He writes that maybe a woman who uncovers her hair today, although Rabbi Vajra says she's in violation of Das Yehudis, and she's even in violation of Das Moshe, which can never change, nevertheless, argues Rabbi Vajra, maybe we can suggest she doesn't lose the ksuba. But you see, every single woman that uncovers her hair in public, we suspect of Chas v'Shalom. You know, Rav Avadya is painfully aware, as we mentioned last week, of what's going on in the late 20th century, that the women who have the audacity to not receive a guest to live with another man. That was why he goes back to the Ramban Din and the Mishnah, and before the Gaonim. But now, everyone, Chas v'Shalom. Chas v'Shalom. Undoubtedly, especially that, what we call the Shomer Shabbos. Let's call that the criteria. Go to a Shomer Shabbos, and they go with the outer head covered, you suspect them of Zeus. Chas v'Shalom, how can you say this? Chas v'Shalom. In those days, when it was universally accepted that they covered there, there was one Kutza, One cover of hair, you suspect that she's a real woo-hoo. She's a suspect of snus. But when it becomes very widespread, although the matter is a violation of that most of Yehudis, but you can't go as far as to say that she's a Nazana, and therefore she would not lose her tzibah. So I suggest to Bavada, maybe. Lania Zaidi wants to go further than that and say that perhaps there's no violation of Das Yehudis at all. Because Das Yehudis, you said before, can change. And Bavada himself writes that Das Yehudis can change. But he can't accept it in this case because it's Das Moshe. Because it's an Issa Daraita, and Daraitas can never change. If you take Daraita literally, then the Chora, although we'll see an exception soon, it can never change. The Torah can never change. It's immutable, unchanging. If you say, however, that the word Daraita cannot be taken literally, that the Shumas Adesh seems to say, as the Rambam said, as the Rambam seems to perhaps indicate, by equating to the Nation's Ish, then it leaves open the possibility that it could change as well. Really, the cause of hope on the main question is the right to literally or not? If it's the right to literally, it can never change. So the Gemara says it's the favorite the right to literally. If it is the Rabbana, which is what the death seems to say, then you're open. Maybe things in fact can't change based upon the logic of the Vajra advances in a different case. He doesn't say it over here. He can't believe it because it's a terrible violation of the right. He does say that even despite the fact he might lose it super. Because there's no chatzipusa, because everyone's doing it, it doesn't indicate snus. But he's still considered to be a violation. That's what he prints. I'm sorry? Yeah, that's Moshe, that's Judas. I don't have it in front of me. But if you look carefully there, you'll see that he says such a svara. Such a svara. Okay, Rabotai. But now we come to some of the heavy hitters. It's interesting how this discussion starts. You know, we know that the halacha that a married woman has to cover her hair, but there's a problem. The very first day of this month, we pointed out that the word marriage really has two stages. What are they? Well, everybody help me out. What are they? Kiddushin and Nisu. Which stage? At which stage does a woman who is married have to cover her hair? At the stage of Erisin or the stage of Nisu? Was a big fight. Now, what I say to the minister here, you disagree, you think he's absolutely wrong, but you also have a fist fight. All right? You just disagree. Some say everything, some say he's suing. Okay, fine. Well, but just to say such one or the other is easy, you know, who we to say. The Alter HaPoskim is remarkable over here. In Simon Chof Aleph, who's called the Chof Zion, called the Big Machlok. And he said, he quoted, I'm sorry. I mean, they put a ring on a finger. And of course, this child is very almost irrelevant today. You ask, that's irrelevant. Today it's all together, same second. You know, oh, that's right. But some people, they'll let her wear a regular hair by the either there's two, there can be two reasons for it. Or halach is in a pragmatic. Halach to be because there's a book under the cabinet is already to do it. Pragmatically, I've got a little. school, but maybe two reasons for it. A halakhic and a pragmatic. Halakhically, because under the book, under the canon is already included. Pragmatically, they're not going to get no part of the Hebrew to make the fancy quack that the shaykhs are these days. Oh, so it gets against the Mishnah. It doesn't say there's a piyuk or a shafuah. You're right, you see? The very strange, you're right. That's why I never like this. This is kadosh. This is kadosh. Kadosh also in our Torah. It's all for us. You know, for the Torah, the Mabatul of Mishnah. The Mishnah said the woman, when she married her first wife, she goes, we also Perua, and they're Perua in the Mishnah.
What about the Baal anyway?
Well, hold on. Patience. So this, no. We'll come back to the question later. The Sefer Yehoshua has quoted by the Nuk. Okay, Paul says one thing. The reason why a woman who is Arusa may go into the public with her hair uncovered is because Sarah comes to town. That's still it. That's all I've quoted in the Ultra Apostle. He left out the good stuff. He left out the good stuff. Hold on. I'm going to read you some key excerpts here. So you don't understand. Our rules are like a sewer for everything else. Adrava, this is really getting polemical. Adrava, our rules are the tequila of the sewer of a tenant. What do you find the difference? But then he says something which I was mechanical. And it's my paper. I'm going back to print it. And I never knew that the paper Yeshua said it, so I would have attributed it to him. He throws in the source, I thought I was the originator. A double thugger, I thought. Turns out it's already quiet, I love it. He says, the Edson of Snorri has already found it, although you'll see he doesn't come out my way, but it doesn't matter. Here's what he could throw. I'm saying, I don't want to take credit because it's already, the gist of which, the basis of which already printed. Look what he says. No, he says, you can make a distinction. Because by Sota, it's a source. And every Sota, by definition, has to be a what? A Nesuah. Not only does every soul have to be a Nesuah, but every soul also has to be a... Who, anyway? Ba'ula. Why? Supposed to go to the Gemara says, how's it supposed to go, though? The Ak, you saw Keith. Ish, that's Paul. Yibaladei, Yishay. What do you mean, Yibaladei, Yishay? Aside from your husband, but the Gemara Darshan, the Sota, patient, the Gemara Darshan, no. You need Kodma Shivas Baal and Shivas Boaz. So the only time the whole parsha comes to apply is with the husband lived with her, to have a relation. And subsequent to that, is the question of adultery. But if there is no relation between the husband and wife, then the whole parsha sort of wouldn't apply. Says the same for Yehoshua, and I quote, so the Sota Tivis over Sota, Akar Habu'ula Havi the Tosh, Shetakim Shivas Baal Aboel, who the Sula Havis, Darusa in Mashkin Oto. That's what the Gaval of the Tvara. That means then he doesn't like it. I don't know if he doesn't like it. He's talking about Dula Mema, Kevin, and the Sula, Sula, and Rishon, Ami Asura, with my eye and Nimsef, with Talib Bene. I don't understand. He gave us the Gaval of the Tvara. Maybe he's too cautious around. You gave my chilek that I wrote. I thought it was my original chilek, and you said it in one line and threw it out. The chilek didn't follow. The whole thought for the woman coming here is now it's a sota has to be a nu, has to be a what? Under the sua, and she has to be a ba'ula. So that's what I wrote in my thing, and that would explain, we'll come to this later, that would explain how it's possible that a woman who is married doesn't really cover her hair properly after her own wedding, after Eris, and after the suing, and after, you know, the chuppah, and after Yichud, after everything, she's still walking around with that little veil on her head. Oh, that's the answer. Mid-Doraisa, people have to punch out the Doraisa, it's only after the beer. There's no beer. Therefore, there's no fear of Doraita. So all you're left with is what? Das Yehudit. And Das Yehudit says, we're available for the wedding to stand up. It's the guest of Avadya. Of Avadya, the Chavadat. If you can guess. The Chavadat, he writes like this. I mentioned this before, we learned this to the Yehud. So we know I mentioned this, but we discussed what does this do when I mentioned this. Avadya writes like this. We spied him. We spied him. We started that we don't have any Yichud room. Went for the cast on. So we understand why things come very so after the cast is all over. But I hate Ashkenazim, that they have Yichud, they have an obligation to cover there completely with a shetel or a half, a shetel, he's against shetel completely, we'll get to that later, with a half or with a kerchief after the Yichud room. For sure, he writes, but we don't follow that. There's a wedding last night. Well, little I could tell if it was wearing a veil like every other cow. Like I tell my wife when my marriage, my wedding, she wore a veil. That's all. But headpiece, that's it. Why? Wow, very good. Cows that form to many of these shards, including the Kuma possession of Kuma Yud and others, is a see-through.
see-through.
Oh, I guess I heard you. House that goes to many of you showing the see-through. See-through hair cover. So how can a see-through hair cover be enough? The Bible says, and don't hack me with your see-through veil. That's not worth being. You mean to tell me a woman can go from shoulder to knee in a see-through and you'll say it's good enough? That's what Roger says. It's against enough for the Gemara. Erva Bashashi Sasu. Mark Rocha says, if you have an erva behind the left, that's like Bashashi. Those people that are women now are married with these hair that you can see right through, Baruch Hashem. Not over any to the right. Baruch Hashem. It's Kalka. But the Gemara says the violation is not good. Of course, now you're going to argue with me, and here's a very important point. It can change. But the women now in a certain community, I don't want to mention the name of the community, but in a certain community, all the women are going out with their hair in that. But then you can say, look, that's their cousin. That's most of them not. That's Kalka. It's only that Yehuda, so that's going to change. Oh, somebody says that's crazy snore. He said that, you know, you have a hair that you can't see, there's no tab up in one place, because after all, it's always the point of view is open, but that thing's from shoulder to knee. There'll be a big line up there. There's no pep up. No, it's a love to Chevrolet, right? Love this. There's no pep up. There's love of it. Make a big ass. Three stuff. That's ridiculous. Something they don't love the size. You have to understand. You have to go, one of the public officials said, who said it? Ronnie? I know when I see it, but it was not to be London. I sure should have, you know. So I mean, lovers over here. It's not a time for lovers. I'm not against lovers, this is not the time for it. This is that's gonna be much more practical. Anyway, I'm in the middle of the same Yeshua. So I feel so bad. He had my flora and he passed it away. But okay, we're not finished. You haven't hit the main line yet. No? That's a great feeling. Anyway, so nice. Listen. Top, not over here. Now, sha. There's a safer Yeshua like this. It all a cloud. I'm talking a new pattern here. I don't want to look it up later. I'm thank Uri for his zero. I mean, the second part, Ba cloud. Ba cloud. He was there, Tully, Gilu, Ya'erva, Imudera, Lakazim, Benoshim, Behim, Megala. I raise the Erva. Abu, the Lord, Loya, Darkman, Lakazim. Lo having to get a hair of a cloud. Kevin Shakulam, Regilim, Lerah, Padal, Rechard. Zerach Moshul. In Dark on the Chasoso, the Chasos, Yudayim of Man, or Jehi Megala, Stefan, from Malcolm to Dark on the Chasos, the Gilierbo. They wear a mask.
You're right.
Or they wear gloves. And they don't reveal anything. And she sees or reveals the Tefa. She is in violation. Gilierbo. And you can't say Krishma Kenegdo. The Moke, the Sara, the Sagili Erva, in Daka Makasa. Listen carefully. You are not, you're going to be amazed when you hit. You will be stunned. You will fall off your chair. Avalim and Hogam, the Galo, Sara, Otepa, the Gupta, Foolish Adaka, Leda, the Gili Erva. Ain't the Gili Erva. Hold on. Anything to say? Not yet. He quotes it. So to the Sulo, says the Rosh, well, we ready to have finished Shemanov our time. Shadag and Leda threw off Mutta de Kuskenegdan. He quotes a number of other sources that say the same thing. Zeu Yosef Shakol Talibo. Now I'm in the second column. The Koldova Hanira Tome Vendaka Mechatos and Regilimbu Inchi Ain the Ergo. The Ebneotim is Darabem, which are Regilimbata. Ain time with the Raisa Easter cloud of the Masha Minig Rechazosan, Oz Vizgalo Stas, the Storm and the other man, Oz Erva Mitri, the Oz Midoraisa. So here he said an amazing thing. He said something which we until now resisted and rejected. We kept screaming, Zol, Satora, Lo, Sehenko, Plebet. A din Doraisa can never change. Rabbanah can change. That's you can be the Russia can change. A Doraisa can never change. Once us and the Doraisa can be that way forever and ever, forever and ever. And what did he say? No. It's an Issa Doraisa which can change in time and in place. So the nature of the Issa Doraisa in this particular case is subjective. Depends upon the place. It's almost unique. Where do you find Doraisa? That's because that's, you know, you don't say Shabbos, you know, it's tough, you know, 6 days a week with no Shabbos. That's the Shalom. 7 days a week with no Shabbos, it's crazy. It's a unique situation. But now, he's going to be explicit. He's not going to miss any words. He was finished on that. Look what he says. That's true. That's a good start. He says, well, that's why the word is regilim. Hold on. Oh, you're going to say it. Just be patient. Look at it. Here. Avo. Give me some favor. E havi noagin kol benos Yisrael. If there would be a custom that all the Jewish women in that time and place lotes v'kriyus, that all Jewish women in that time and place go in the street with their hair uncovered, Lo have a shudisur, did he know prohibition? A filu bin suo, lote mitam. Unbelievable. If I would get up and make the statement in the street, they would take me, I don't know if they would do with me, but if I went to the third street, they would stone me. What are you crazy? Are you on the sugar now? Who is the Savior Yeshua anyway? Yes, I believe, no? No? He is the father of the Minchas Kinnas. The father of the Minchas Kinnas. Baba. That's Baba. What? It's a long tshuva about a funny case that is really amazing. But I wasn't going to repeat it. He's going to repeat it. Don't think it's a place that's a kumud. He's going to repeat it. 1 second. Hold on. The Gemara. Look, El da Gemara mochiach minatig upara es rosh isha mitlal sha'ad after halom hope of the kisur behind the motion of the bar noshim the same of the en ha'emes yodu bale a Gemara shematach the kol toro sen the talus to the redidim in fact it's for us rosh erev of us of the raisa v'lom is that through this 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 the guest borrowed the Ezra Shemi's bar. Look at this. It's amazing. The Av Nehoya Behefer. Look at it. Shetel from the Suo Spigilud. U Bixulo Sefusit. Let there be a custom, a wacky custom, that the single girls, they want, come with it. I can understand it. They don't want the older boyfriend to look. You know, I don't know what's going on. But, then it's two of the Giloids, and once they're married already, so then no one's going to bother, no one's going to cut up, but then they're married already. Let this such a customer exist somewhere in some place. What would it be? Haya b'sulot asurot unasurot mutarot. Would be exactly the reverse of what we normally imagine. Well, the fizain kanshin kushim arusim in the surah, see ya? Da kol toloi b'mina kanoshim. Okay, one second. It all depends upon the custom of the women. He said it twice, he said. It wasn't just in a tenth list. Two times, he said. If the custom would be that married women go without their hair covered, then there would be no problem. Why am I saying this to you? We mentioned at the beginning of the year, in a totally unrelated context, you have to know that they have to be, you know, a little bit relaxed when they're presented with a posing position. This is not a sheet of Sarabi. I would not be active if I told you, oh, yeah, I don't hold the place. Take me your shoe, I don't have heard you ever heard of taking your shoe. The merchant said that a guy with Buddhist could change. He's saying that God's Moshe could change. Because all God's Moshe is a, what we said before, it's a recording in Torah Moshe, right? The Torah Kedosha, of the custom which existed at that time. That's what he's saying in fact today. And therefore, it was awesome in that Torah, and it remained awesome in that Torah in those places where that custom was there. Bia in the context of marriage, so therefore, once told the Bia, she did not cover her hair. So what's he saying? Again, Trump himself is an Arusa. They won't talk about Arusa. The Arusa did not cover her hair, Mr. Arusa, because the whole mother is the minig, and the minig was only a minig taken from the Goyim, and the Goyim would have the minig after Bia, and then before Bia, there'd be no fear of the Arusa. By the way, of course, not only is there no fear by an Arusa, but it's even no fear of the Arusa by a what? By a the sewer before Bia. Going back to my original question of the wedding night, that she had to bring the veil up, the answer was going to be yes. Not because of my reason, which I found is a castaway of the same Yahushua, which he mentioned this road out in one line. But even the, according to his version, comes in the same thing. That's quoted in the Ultra Post. That part is quoted. What did he leave out? He was talking about the silent language, the interesting language. He says, this is the grandson here. No, this is not the Yeshua's Yadam now. Yeshua's Yadam. So this is following. Listen carefully. It says, Mizei Raya, Rakshay Aminid Kogan Bi Yisrael, Shlo Tetzena Anoshin Kuros Rosh. Havo Mikoma Gomeini Kan Raya Li Yisrael Torah. Rakhi Iker Ayasa Medisiv Sator Lefroa Rosh Yishadu, Kudel and Avla, Gilsalam, which is actually a specific expression. It is a daraisa. But the only reason it is a daraisa is because the meaning of the women is to go that way. With Tatarim. If this woman is a Karusa and she violates her custom at that time and place, she's over attack under the daraisa. You're right, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's kind of a very strange thing for the Savior Yeshua. If you live in Hungary or in Galicia in the late 20th century, late 19th century, and you went with your hair uncovered, then what? You are over on the east of the right to every minute you go out on the street. The same woman who would live in Lithuania, in Vilna, then she would not be over anything. Well, that's a problem. I'll tell you a story, just that I may just digress for a moment. It's not really a digression. It's written in the Pazanish's biography, I believe. I think it's in the Teredo somewhere. That the Chazanish was once asked about a shidduch, and the inquiring, a hit in the hair, and they came to Chazanish, this wonderful, wonderful Bokhar, I think, they recommended, but they said it was one terrible thing, that the mother didn't cover the hair. What would you say, Chazanish? Yes, it's a spirit, it depends. It's a very costly fair, it depends. If the mother comes from Hungary and Galicia and she didn't cover her hair, go through the shidduch. Why? Because this mother in that place where all the women who were Shabbat Shabbos and the prominent majority did cover the hair and she didn't, that's a chesaron. And that's something that could be passed on to her son, her daughter, I think her son, and therefore don't go to the shidduch. But, said the Chazanish, if this woman's mother came from Lithuania and she didn't cover her hair, no one covered her in Lithuania. No, almost no one covered her in Lithuania. So what do you want? It will not be anything wrong to go through the shidduch to show up with the flock. He didn't say, whoop. I just saw him say that. But it did indicate that, you know, the priestess level, the negative aspect that continued to another generation was evident only in circumstances where her action was considered a deviation from what was going on in the community at large. That's quicker, I think, the better. The Tigers alone, but the husband is afraid. The Tigers alone, then, a woman who was deviated from the normal experience of the past, they might have a negative impact.
That's
the
story
I read. Yes.
Yeah.
It is all right. Right, exactly. The right doesn't change, but the category, what's considered a category changes. You're right, but that's still a big kiddush. It's a kiddush nifty. No one fell off the chair, but I guess I gave it away before I said it. But it is a very, very strong kiddush. Yes. Whoop. Yeah. Yeah. Over the Rabbanan? No. Have it over the Rabbanan, he says. No, not even the Tachin. He does not the Tachin. That's one thing which is quoted in that's the thing, you see. The ultra apostles quoted the statement of Yeshua, but they left this part out. This is typical. Next thing, they quote the grandson of the Yeshua Tachin. The Yeshua Tachin on the class was from on the Shulchan Aruch. And it says there in the middle of the Simcha Chavalah, Elizabeth Necher and Machaber, Melena of Tzvi Hirsch, Orenstein. Yeshua Tachin was Yaakov Orenstein. This is his son of Tzvi Hirsch, who was obviously become a Kofa based on what he wrote here. And he has a whole column about this, which is an interesting thing, which I tell you, I never thought of, but he has it over here.
He's a man.
Is it close to a poster? They only quote part again. Listen. We already had mentioned earlier on our own, before the issue with Yaakov's grandson, that maybe the Torah is recording a minhag which existed in its time, that women covered their hair when they were married. There's the Yeshua Tzadok of the truth. And I prove it to you from the Gemara. What are the public comments from the Gemara? What's the Gemara? It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Ches, please. In Sanhedrin Daf Nun Ches, the Gemara talks about Yishu Eishu Ish before you were born. I remember Flappers. Flappers then, you didn't have, I don't think that 5% of the women covered in the Flappers. So put it in there. I grew up, I knew even better. You God Hill. I grew up in, among other schools I attended with young Israel, you God Hill. Big, huge shoe. And that entire shoe, I'm going out in 1950, so from 35 years ago, back when I moved in, 35 years ago, I'm talking about, the women who were in the shoe covered their hair. I'm not belittling it. I think it's a very wonderful thing. But, you know, you come out of school and take it off, right? The first thing. Really, it was almost, in some shoes, it was only the Rebbe. And some shoes, not even the Rebbe. Nobody. Some shoes, the Rebbe didn't cover it, and some one or two others did. That was over the course of 10 shoes. But it was nothing. It was such a time. The Shtivu, and I also belong to a Shtivu. The Shtivu was different. There was a much higher percentage even then, even in the late 50s, I remember.
And how much did I put?
The middle of the night says, See, once we got started with the end of the Pasuk, there was studying Mark and everything that's going to say, Ulas Boal Yeshlahem. But Erisin, they don't have. By the Goyim, a legalistic relationship based upon a ring or a document without the beer, they don't have it. Till there's beer, till it'll be kosher in our language. The marriage is, quote, consummated. Till that happens, by then it's not considered a marriage. Says the Yeshua's Yadav grandson, if that's the case, the only time there's a chiyuv of zarais that are covered in here for a woman is if she fits into this category of the minik of the goyish women, and the goyish women only consider themselves married at one point. No, help me out, we have to what? After the bia in the context of marriage. So therefore, once until the bia, she did not cover her hair. So what's he saying? She's again trying to discuss, is an arusa. They won't talk about arusa. The arusa did not cover her hair, it's alright, because the whole mother is the minig, and the minig is only a minig taken from the goyim, and the goyim are the minig after bia, and then before bia, there'd be no chiyuv of daraisa. By the way, of course, not only is there no chiyuv by an arusa, but there's even no chiyuv of daraisa by a what? By a the sewer before beer. Going back to my original question of the wedding night, the chef is going to veil it up. The answer was going to be yes. Not because of my reason, which I found is a passed away of the Sefer Yehoshua, which he mentions throughout in one line. But even the, according to his version, that version comes the same thing. That's quoted in the Ultra Post. That part is quoted. What did he leave out? He was talking about the silent vote, the silent language, but interesting language. He says, this is the grandson here. He says, no, this is not the Yeshua's God now. Yeshua's God. So this is follow. Listen carefully. He says, Mizei Raya, Raksha, Minyat, Kogum, Yisrael, Shlo, Tetzena, Anoshim, Kuros, Rosh. Havel, Mikoma, Gomeni, Kan Raya, Lisa, Torah. Rapidikar Ayasa and the Sith and Torah the Flora Rosh Ishazu, Kidela Navla, Gilsalam, which is actually considered an expression. Sherotom Asher Yisbara, Sheyisharu Bimin Hogam Akosam Azer, Shalalatu the Fuas Rosh. Kidinai Lahem the Flora Rosh on the Shuk, the Snei Rabu. Because that Bibara, Bibir had a coming to the Raisa at any time and place. For a woman who's married to go over here on cover. Rather, what is it? Well, a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants it. The Ratzon Hashem is Vara. This is exactly what the Vara considered to be in the category called an Asmachta. What does an Asmachta mean? Not a real, absolute fear of the Raisa, but the fact that there's a remnant put in the Chumash, that's what the Chazam made it up. Because Ratzon Hashem is Kodesh Baruch Hu wants it. But it's not absolutely mandatory. So it could be that if the Yeshua's Yagam granted is implying, although it's not explicit, that it's not an absolute issue for a married woman under any conditions to go out with her hair uncovered, but she's not doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Well, you know, whenever we don't learn, we don't do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, when there's stuff, we don't do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, we don't have perfect meetings with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but you wouldn't run away and call it an Easter Theorize or so fair. That, 1 second. That's what the Yeshua's Yagam grandson implied. Doesn't say it's something fairish, that's the impression which is conveyed. Then he goes to his whole discussion about Bula's Baal, which is quoted in fact by the Ultra Apollo. This particular line which I quoted to you is not found in the Ultra Apollo. I've found. So again, to the clarity of Yeshua, the definition of it's also with the right, but it can change. We had mentioned it for other possible suggestions. It's not even, it's never going to be the right. It's not an absolute issue. It's a minig which is being quoted. That's how Yeshua's Yagam is the minig. Min hagam gaya lam old mi kodesh kibbul ha-torah, shil nagosh lalas kifu ha-throw shashuk. Okay, we're simply saying, no absolute issue, that's okay. Right? And, but the kain ti nebu uba, so kain ti shol, kona ma'an tola, hoya lam ha-rusa. Ukri se skupal, shiva isha isha isha, kulak ba'al, kulak ba'al, kulak ba'al, because the shuk which you frequent, the street which you go in is frequented by many others who have a different custom. They're both sides. I don't want to go too late. There's a Meiri, which I think if you're going to look at the Meiri on this mission, it's very interesting stuff. So lean at it tomorrow, we're going to turn the page and discuss the question of the house of it, transparent head covering. What in the world does that do for you? We'll discuss that with the Shem. And the shuk and the mafia and the chater, tomorrow.